verdict for OTI Racing.
Offering unique and inclusive racing experiences.
Find out more at oti.com.au.
On RSN 927's Racing Pulse, welcome to the verdict.
If New South Wales want to play these little silly games, I like the fact that Victoria's risen above it to say no, that the integrity of the carnival is bigger than a spat.
Jockey's good enough. It doesn't matter where he or she is from, what state they're based in, they're going to get good rides. If they're elite, they will get elite rides.
You like to see horses that are not unbeatable.
Exactly. I got utterly bored for the last half of Winx and the last half of Black Caviar. I really did.
But for racing, Ole Kirk's had, what, six starts, seven starts? We don't want to see him retired.
I think we're at the point now where we have to stop referring to our best female jockeys as lady riders. Surely we just recognise everybody as they're all competitors on the field.
The bottom line that I took out of Saturday was that the best of Arcadia Queen at the moment is better than the best of Russian Camelot.
Yeah. The point has been made that this is still a work in progress. He's very talented, but he's not the perfect racehorse yet, and he's not invincible.
The world of the triple place parlay has there's a few bumps in the road have appeared.
It is that time of the week on a Monday morning where we look back and dissect and discuss what is a huge weekend of racing with Matty Stewart, Mick Sharkey, Caulfield Cup, Everest. I've got to say, it all delivered. It was a stunning Caulfield Cup and a phenomenal win in the Everest. Matty Stewart, how was your weekend?
Morning, Michael. It was a great watch, wasn't it? As we said selfishly on Saturday morning, it might not work in a lot of ways, the Everest and the Caulfield Cup on the same stage, but from the couch, it was a real spoil, wasn't it? So, it was great viewing. Yesterday, we got the Horsham Quaddy and then Gareth made us parlay it in the last at Kilmore, It ended on a roller coaster ride yesterday. But Saturday was fantastic, and K-Mac's just, you know, those big players. He's a big player, isn't he, K-Mac?
It's a remarkable record he's got in the majors.
And a champ. He runs like a champion, classic legend. He looks like a champion sprinter to me. Not just the best of a bunch. He looks like a champion.
I think he's the best sprinter, or that's the best sprinting performance we've seen since Black Caviar on Saturday.
Probably other than Nature Strip up the straight last spring. Yeah. But it was a different type of performance. This one required a little bit more mojo.
And very elegant, beating your horse, Anthony Van Dyke, Sharkey. He had his chance. I think if he drew a barrier, maybe it would have been a different result. But she held him on the line and was probably going away from him on the line.
I think if he had his ground, it would have been a different result. He's not a horse at his best on soft ground, and yet he still ran the best stayer in Australia to a long neck, was a margin, something like that, a neck, in a Caulfield Cup. So terrific performance from Anthony Van Dyke. Just, it was pretty cool, wasn't it, to watch an Epsom Derby winner go around in a Caulfield Cup as McAvaney and the like were running through the field, and they kept hitting on that point. You think, this is pretty awesome. Like, I know we can't be there to see him in the flesh, but it's a thrill to watch them go around anyway.
Well, how much cooler is it that we've got an Aussie/New Zealand horse that actually can beat them?
Yeah.
And we got the global perspective through a Dabe as well.
That was good, wasn't it? Beating, Saturday night.
Yeah, beating the Derby winner and then the horse that beat her in Sydney then came out and flogged Magical. So I know you can't judge it on one set of circumstances on 24 hours around the world, but it did give an idea that maybe Very Elegant is a globally good horse, you know?
On both fronts, though, wet tracks, which played into the hands of Adabe in the UK and also Very Elegant at Caulfield. So they both had their right ground, but at least they proved that
form line... It wasn't a wet track. It was a bit off, but it was. You wouldn't say it was a mud runner's track at Caulfield.
Well, they were all talking genuine soft seven.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'd love to see her take on the world next year, because why wouldn't you? With that international form line, say, it's always wet in an arc, 2,400 metres of testing... Have a crack.
Yeah, I don't think she's quite...
I think
she's quite good enough to be on a mission.
On a wet
like
track?
That. Yeah, because I think she's just a very... I still don't think she's a champion. She's a very good mare. But there's so much for
she
her
won six
here.
She ones.
Well, Damien Ratcliffe
Melody Bell's
that.
Won 12 and she can't get warm here, so...
Damien Ratcliffe
She's a different horse to Melody Bell.
Is she a champion now? She's won six Group 1s.
I saw Damien Ratcliffe's tweet. That's why, and I understand everyone's got a different interpretation, but to me, a champion
if
is...
she wins a Melbourne Cup with 56, she's a champion.
Yeah, why are we all assuming I'd give her that if she can do that.
Okay, she's got 55 now.
Yeah.
She's got to get at least a half, doesn't she?
She's getting a kilo, at least.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying 56. A kilo.
I think Greg Carbonell... They won't give her more than one.
We'll get part owner Bray Sikorski up, because I've spoken to Johnny O'Neill offline.
Bro, we're saying she's getting none.
And, no, the decision now is what weight. She's not a certain starter in a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, could she back up in a Cox plate?
No, I think it's I don't think they're talking that. Whether the Melbourne Cup is a bit crushing for her. I think that's the
issue. She's not a big horse, but she's got an engine and she's got that.
I think she's got a better chance than Russian Camelot in the Melbourne Cup, and I give him no. I don't think she could win it, and I don't think Russian Camelot could win it.
There's only one horse that has carried more weight. She's not a Maccabi Diva. Maccabi Diva carried 55.5 in 2004, and then the Freak carried 58.
And Maccabi Diva was as big as your house.
Yeah, she was a beast.
Big unit.
So she carries 55 kilos to beat...
Huge house, it's actually cavernous. That's how I'd explain it.
I think they're putting extensions on.
Well, the staff, you know, is this, we're going to welcome the Manuel staff on the back soon. Maria and Jose, all these people are going to be back again on site.
You've got to stop drinking in the morning, Chuck. she's got 55.5 and she wins, I think, one of the strongest editions of the Caulfield Cup we've seen in recent times, beating the Epsom Derby winner. And going away from it on the line, there was, what, 2.5 lengths to the third horse? Was there two lengths to the third horse?
I think the fear is the tsunami's coming from Werribee, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying in Greg Carpenter's mind that she's got to get a penalty.
I don't know if it was the strongest Caulfield Cup in recent times. There was like three good horses in it. The rest of them were...
Yeah.
We saw what the rest of them
but
were.
But she did beat the Epsom Derby.
But I'm saying that's what you judge it on the horse you beat. And if he's the best horse you've said previously, the best rated horse that's come to Australia to compete
in one of these horses.
I don't know what the nuances are about handicapping mares who had 55 in a Caulfield Cup. I don't know how it works. And, you know, the funny thing that came out of the Caulfield Cup for me was all the talk all along had been Tiger Moth, Melbourne Cup, Anthony Van Dyke, Caulfield Cup, and the other O'Brien runners. And I never even had it in my head that Anthony Van Dyke was going onto the Melbourne Cup because no one had spoken about him beyond the Caulfield Cup, really, in most discussions. So here he is, the Epsom Derby winner who's run a bottler in a Caulfield Cup, won't get re-handicapped. Why is Anthony Van Dyke not still spoken about in the Melbourne Cup? In a traditional sense, he'd be favourite for the Melbourne Cup off that. So
he's still going to carry 58 in a Melbourne Cup.
I think there's some doubt about him running 2 miles too.
Flashing second with top weight in a Caulfield Cup. How many times out of 10 does that mean you run well in the Melbourne Cup? About 8 out of 10, I'd say. So
I think you'd probably rather be on Prince of Arran. Out of a Caulfield Cup,
what a lovely little trial.
It was running the UK. Prince of Arran would be 50-1. Anthony Van Dyke,
but it's not. It's run at Flemington, where Prince of Arran flies.
They're still the same horses. Yeah,
different track. He's a better horse in Australia than
the UK. Michael Walker. Dashing Willoughby, clearly something's not right there because he gave up like a prick balloon. Just he was gone at the 500, and then he would have not that he would have seen because he was on the rail and Prince of Arran watching the replay back and just seeing Prince of Arran stoking up that last 400.
I tell you what was interesting about the Caulfield Cup is as much as Anthony Van Dyke and Prince of Arran went well, in an overall sense, the internationals had a mixed day, didn't they, in the race? A lot of them finished further last than first, so they still keep sending a lot of horses that aren't the right horses, don't they? A lot of them finished closer to the tail, so they didn't go very fast. It was a horrible, messy race, though. It was bloody... I don't know why he didn't go around and do something more effective on Finch. That was just, you know, do something. Don't just sit there and be, you know, on a constant spin around Caulfield. He had to do something.
The same happened last year. He was stuck out on a limb. He's gutsy, he's tenacious. I think he's just a length off them when it gets to...
Absolutely. That's where it
gets to that level. Sharky, what do you make of the ride on Anthony Van Dyke? I was surprised he got so far back in the run. This is an SMS.
Look, his usual pattern is to go forward, but Hugh Bowman, mate, the horse didn't exactly ping the gates. He probably came out at a European tempo from the gates, let's say. And the overhead shot probably told the story. There was way too much speed inside. I think with the weight, Bowman made the right call that a conservative ride was probably the way to go rather than pumping forward and trying to find the lead. Yeah, they rolled along at an even tempo, but it shows you the class of the horse. He's come from well off the speed against his tempo. He hasn't had his preferred surface and he's been beaten the neck. So it's stiff if you've backed him. Hope you backed him each way at the bigger price, but if you didn't, well... You know, it's racing, isn't it? It's a big race handicap. You need everything to go right. And there are probably a couple of just minor one percenters that weren't there on the day for Anthony.
Evan, listen to this. Matt Stewart tipped very elegant way back in May to win the Melbourne Cup. I'm glad I followed you and had a little each way at 35-1. Cheers, Kay from Lower Templestowe.
Good on you, Kay. Good to see you stuck with me, even though I don't remember
doing it. You had no idea you tipped very elegant, did you?
He did one of those, let's see who's going to win a race in 2 years' time, and then do a tip and I just pull
the
one
first
out of
horse
hat,
you thought of was very elegant. No. Hey, Well, let's try and get an insight into what is going to happen with the Caulfield Cup winner, because we know Bracer Colsey is a good mate of ours here on RSN. And Caulfield Cup Everest Day is turning into his favourite day of the year. 12 months ago, he won the Everest with Yes. He's then won the Caulfield Cup this Saturday. And I don't know if he stopped partying yet. I wonder how he is this morning. Good morning, Bray. How are you?
Nice, fresh and sober, Michael. I'm glad to report.
Well, that is good to hear, because he'd have every right not to be after that performance from Very Elegant. And I know you sent through some social media videos where you actually watched the race, I think, in Byron Bay. You put on a Very Elegant party up there, and it seemed like it was a huge day for the Caulfield Cup and you. It's a race that you've been wanting to win for a number of years now.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you tie toga outfits in Byron Bay, by the way,
Bray? It was actually Sydney, Michael. It was certainly north of the Victorian border. I don't know what that is. And yes, I had a large group of very close friends to celebrate the occasion with me. And whilst I wasn't on track, we certainly made the most of it. Yeah, and you're right, the Caulfield Cup. I grew up around Caulfield, and it's always been the one race very close to my heart. And this sort of romantic connection to this race. And it was actually the fourth consecutive year that I've had the starting favourite. And the previous 3 years, I wasn't able to run a place. And as soon as the gates opened, it was an absolute mess for me. So understandably, I was rather reserved coming into this particular race. And to be honest, everything actually panned out perfectly for the mare in the run. And she did the job.
You've got a big ownership group who have got a big decision to make now. The Kiwi Carters, Johnny Rosham, good to see John get a Caulfield Cup winner. Obviously, Ozzie Keir, who you're good mates with, and John O'Neill, who we spoke to on Saturday morning, winning his second Caulfield Cup amongst the owners. So it's an experienced group of owners. What's your gut feel, re Very Elegant, heading to a Melbourne Cup? If she gets, say, a kilo penalty, will you run her?
Well, I think that's the key. We are all experienced owners, and as experienced owners, you have to look at what's best for the racehorse, not what's best for the ownership group. She's such a special mare. We are conscious of what lies ahead of her. You know, we're still convinced that we'll only see the best of her as a six-year-old. She's still maturing, and we don't want to jeopardise her longevity. The expectation is obviously that she's going to get a penalty. I'm hoping Greg, because of the men's previous precedence, and applies a 0.25 kilogram penalty, which I think would be rather appropriate. But yeah, in all seriousness, subject to what the penalty is, we're going to have a good hard look at it and make a decision whether we race or not, subject to what that penalty is.
What's the alternative then, Bray? If she isn't to go to a Melbourne Cup, is that it? Is it end of prep for her?
Absolutely.
Or is there a chance she can back up? Is there a McKinnon program?
I guess we would consider the McKinnon, but in all likelihood, we'd go to the paddock, I would have thought, Maddie.
She's a very good autumn mare too, isn't she, Bray?
Her in the paddock, including us, including Chris. She pulled up well from the run. Chris sent me through some footage actually yesterday of her picking grass in the paddock, and she looked $1 million. So, of course, we don't want to do it. But by the same token, like I said, the horse's welfare and longevity is our first and primary priority.
And the autumn is such a lucrative opportunity for her, particularly in Sydney. There's a lot of options just around the corner, isn't there?
Exactly, Maddie. And you look at the autumn, and we had the misfortune of running into a Deeb. And, you know, William Haggis made a rather lateral decision to run her in the Sydney Autumn, but take him out, and she wins those three major weight for age Group 1 races in Sydney in imposing fashion. And you'd think she'd have those races at her mercy again. So, you know, in my mind, on Saturday, she not only stamped herself as clearly the best horse in the country, but also as a champion. I mean, you look at what she's done. She's won a Group 1 race as a three-year-old filly, a blue riband race, gone on and won at weight for age level over a mile and a half. She's then won a Group 1 at 1,400 metres against some of the best sprinters in the country, and then won a handicap, you know, at a very high weight relative to weight for age at Group 1 level a major handicap. She can't do much more, and that's her six. So, you know, she owes us nothing, and it's all about protecting her.
Bray, you've had, you know, you look at recent history, some of the best horses we've had in recent times have been mares. You've had the Star Colt that's been whisked off to stud before his time, perhaps before we've seen him as an older horse.
Yeah.
And you say that Very Elegant's going to race on into its six-year-old season, which is great news for racing fans. From a racing fan's perspective, which I know you are, what do you prefer chasing now? Are you looking for more of these fillies because they give you the longevity, or is the big glamour colt, is that still on your top of your hit list?
Oh, both. Dark, depending if you have to choose one or the other. You're right, though. I mean, watching the Everest this year, you know, there was certainly a sense of what could have been with Yes, 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 because you look at him, and he was never the finished article as a three-year-old colt. And even when Chris went to see him at Coolmore, he commented how he actually finally looked like he had furnished into, you know, the full racehorse package, but he was a stallion and starting to let down. So, you know, I am above and beyond everything else a racing purist, and we're in the game to race horses. So the prospect of having this mare race on until she's six or seven, I mean, Winx raced on until seven under the care and tutelage of Waller. So there's no reason why we don't have a good couple of years ahead of her. And there's some potential long-range overseas ambitions as well that we have in mind next spring.
So, well, that was what I wanted to get to. Are you thinking about overseas next year in a race like an ARC?
Yep, absolutely we are. We feel like she's a world-class horse. Not only with that form behind a debut, but we all know what he did on the weekend. You know, beating Magical very comfortably is considered one of the best horses in the world. And obviously with Anthony Van Dyck, he's taken Stradivarius to the sword and Nepsen Derby winner himself. You can't have more world-class form around you. You know, they throw up a bottomless track like they did this year. She'd be in the race up to her ears. So I don't think it's being overly ambitious to think that she could represent this country in that race this time next year.
And kind of the almost the funny part of that would be the story of Very Elegant. And some horses just make you roll your eyes and almost like giggle to yourself. It's been well publicised about the sire who was throwing the leg over Clydesdales at some mountain station in New Zealand, Bray, and her galloping action and all that. You haven't got a seamless champion like Winx. You've got a really, really oddball champion to take on the world. It must be a really unique, funny feeling with Very Elegant.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you guys as well remember when she came into the yard for her first start in Australia, and you're right, Matty, people were giggling, not just at her pedigree, but at the way she looked. I mean, she was just nigh on a coat hanger, nothing of her, no pedigree. That's a very special story. It's enough that she's sort of risen to the top of the Australasian racehorse standings. But, yeah, if we were able to take on the world with a horse with her background, it would be incredible, truly incredible.
All right, give us a headline, Bray. What weight rules her out of the Melbourne Cup?
Well, I'm not the one. I can't make the decision on behalf of Chris Waller nor the entire ownership group. But if she was to get the maximum penalty of 1.5 kilos, I would strongly suggest that horse will not be running in the first Tuesday of November. And at 1 kilogram, it's going to be a borderline decision.
And if she does head there, who rides?
Yeah, once again, I can't make that decision. It would be all I'll say is obviously both riders have basically done nothing wrong on her, but Mark's ride wasn't just a good Group 1 ride. It was one of the best big race rides I've seen. He had three or four junctures within that race where he had to make a split-second decision, and he made the right decision on every occasion. And to keep her off the fence when he had that pressure of Finch outside her, you know, who's 17 hands and weighs probably 100 kilograms more than her, boring her to the inside, the Mark to be able to keep her off the fence, which was the winning move, was remarkable. And in that context, it's very, very difficult for us to take him off.
Well, we'll all be waiting to see with bated breath what Greg Carpenter does. It should be at around about lunchtime today in regards to a penalty for very elegant. Well done, mate. Another major win. And you've only got a couple of sleeps until you've got Old Humidor going around in another Cox Plate and a share in Sir Dragonair as well. So it could be another big week.
Fingers crossed, Michael. And thanks for everyone's support and messages. And I'm just like so ecstatic about it. And it's such a privilege. And it's all about sharing it with friends and family. And you three certainly count amongst my friends. So thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
See, we're going to have a few parties when we can finally open up.
Parties will all join together and be one party, I've got a feeling.
Good on you, bro.
Exactly. Thanks, guys.
So you're Greg Carpenter, Sharky.
Yeah.
Are you going to give a kilo?
Well, traditionally, if we go back to 1482...
She can't get less than a kilo, can
handicapper
she?
Gave, no, I don't... She can't get less than a kilo. I think she probably gets a kilo.
Yeah. And then it's a borderline decision whether you have a roll at the stumps. Would you have a roll, a throw at the stumps at 56?
Yeah, she's a mare. Yep. Probably would. Yep. You'd give her a go.
Sort of 30 genuine. Years ago, it was an automatic decision to run, but now that the internationals are here...
Well, what's Tiger Moth got? 50...
I can't think of the top man. He hasn't got much.
52?
It's the level of the challenge now. Like 30 years ago when they didn't come, you just go. But now you've got this wave of stars to beat.
She's giving weight to Surprise Baby as well, which will be an interesting task at 2 mile.
He looked good galloping between races at Horsham yesterday, by the way.
Okay.
Big and round and shiny.
SMS.
Go on, sorry.
Very elegant carrying an extra kilo over 32 is like Gator carrying 40 cents change on one of his 20K runs. What difference does it actually make? Now, I think I read a comment where Greg Carpenter said that half a kilo equates to around about a length over 3,200, but I will stand corrected on
such
that.
It's all guesstimations. It's such a vague
it's up to
thing,
the individual.
Well, one little check in the run and it doesn't mean anything. One saloon passage and it evens out. So.
No, that's right.
But Mark Zara seemed to be very adamant when you spoke to him, the difference between one and a half and one.
Mm.
You know, he felt that half kilo would take a toll, and it's all about her too. I mean, she's courageous, but she's small, you know. And we saw there was a lead-up race in Sydney where she got bumped around a bit and couldn't handle it. She handled Finch all right, but he's a wuss. But but she didn't handle it in Sydney. Three starts back.
Good morning, boys. Do you think Buckhurst was always going to the Cox Plate?
No. Buckhurst just didn't handle that wet ground. He travelled. If you watch the replay coming to the corner, you're looking around thinking, well, there's not too many in the front half of the field I want to be on other than Buckhurst. And then he was given his head on that ground and he wobbled in and out. He just was not at all comfortable. He still did fairly well to stay on like he did.
Jamie Carr again says she's got a Caulfield Cup ride, a Cox Plate ride. She's riding Buckhurst and a Melbourne Cup ride. And
you just grab her because
and
she's
this is
a
off
gun.
The back of Hayley...
Hayley Turner
yep. winning the big sprint. It's an enormous
Holly Doyle
period.
Won the...
Sorry, Holly Doyle. Yeah. I knew I got that wrong.
Holly Doyle.
So what a wonderful few weeks for the female riders around the world.
Surely next season, or not even next season, but going forward from this point, jockeys are being booked long-term, Jamie Carr's getting booked long-term. Like she's not one of these jockeys at the last minute that's picking up rides. She's getting booked on top horses
a
month in advance.
She's the leading Victorian rider, can't
absolutely.
She could
but she's here she is snapping up a Cox Plate ride the week of the race. Yeah. Like next year, it's not happening. It's not happening. She's getting booked 6 weeks out.
SMS is still flying through here. There's so many. I'll try and get through all of them. What's this one?
While you filter through those, do you know it was... pretty good. And I know sometimes there's a bit of owner fatigue from the racing public. They hear the same people winning the same big races and it's like, oh, he's another Group 1 for Bray and Aussie Care and the like. But we heard it from Bray then, just how passionate he is about the sport. I spoke to Aussie in the minutes after the race. The bloke was shaking. His first words to me, oh, I can't believe I've just won the Caulfield Cup. And he was borderline on tears. Like, yes, they've got the money to buy the horses to go and chase these races, but it still means something to them. And I don't think that should be lost in the conversation. It's not just, oh, another big owner's won another big race. Like, these guys are in a position where they can really chase the sport that they're passionate about. And
it's
good
a different,
luck to them.
It's never going to be success. Quite as good as the Jeff Perry Vaux Rogue or the Dick Monaghan stylish century because it's a luck
right.
in.
You're
story.
Absolutely right.
And these guys do cherry pick the horses they go in, so it's not they're not getting in at the ground level. However, as you say, it's still a huge risk and a huge investment and a big thrill. And you know, we've all seen the images of Bray on the shoulders after the Everest and yes, 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 and that. So yeah, I don't detract at all from what they're experiencing.
SMS saying, why wouldn't you run her? Even if she gets the weight, what are you saving her for? She's the best stayer here. Just run her in a Melbourne Cup.
The Autumn in Sydney and the Arc next year. Hey,
we just got some, before 9 o'clock, some really bad news coming through. Devastating for the Grand Syndicate team. It's me, who was phenomenal winning the Kosciuszko, has got a tendon injury. So It's Me is out, and we'll be now trying to recuperate after that. There was some talk that she could be heading towards a Golden Eagle as well. So for Grand Syndicates, It's Me has been found to have sustained a tendon injury in Saturday's win. She will now be going straight to the paddock for rest and recuperation. Yep. No time frame set or known on a return at this stage.
Sam Lyons, if he's, well, he may not be listening, but I'll text him and find out if he can correct me or not. I've got a feeling she's had a tendon injury
she
before.
Did.
That's what stopped her progression, because she had shown up with a lot of talent as a two-year-old, and then there was a significant injury they weren't sure if they'd get her back from. Obviously, she has come back from that. I'm wondering if it's the same sort of area.
In the context
such a shame.
Of the previous injury and the fact that she's won a Kosciuszko and she's a really terrific broodmare proposition, it is the scenario, even the worst scenarios, still not a disaster, is it? She's won the big race. She's already recovered once from it. In the score of racing luck, she's probably still on the upside of the ledger in a way.
We'll talk about the Everest and whatnot. We'll bound to, but that win, It's Me's win, was phenomenal. They were trying to hold her in. Other jockeys were looking for her. She was there to be beaten. And they are all
the numbers
aware.
Stack up with the Everest, the sectionals and all that sort of stuff, because they're crazy in the Everest.
I think it was a fair bit slower.
We've got an SMS on that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk about the Everest, because there's been a couple of SMSs about Rachel King's ride on Eduardo and what difference that was to Hugh Bowman on Farnham a few weeks earlier. And there's a lot of SMSs about the owner's comments of Classic Legend and leaving Australia as well. We'll discuss that. Keep the SMSs still coming through on The Verdict.
There are some absolute idiots playing golf out on the course proper. Can you believe that? Down towards you, absolute heads.
Now, that was in the middle of the running of the Great Northern Steeplechase at Ellerslie on Saturday, where there were golfers on the course in the middle of the race. And the caller has, I think, described it brilliantly, because if you watch the vision, it was simply incredible. I've never seen a golfer on a course.
Listen,
in the middle of a
I've played
a
some
steeple.
Pretty good mini golf courses, but none of them have had live animals as obstacles. I think that was probably a giveaway for old mate that maybe he was in a bad spot.
The funniest thing was, well, there was two things. One is, how is it that you're able to play on the pitch and putt when the national man is on for a start? But the other thing was, when he noticed that the field was thundering towards him, like any true golfer, you know how your first reaction when someone's coming is, oh, it's okay, I've found it. He stuck his hand up and said, I've found it. And he went, ah!
There's a
surprised he didn't mark the ball.
There's an unbelievable photo of him with his back to the field as it is thundering towards him. So there's a pitch and putt in the middle of the course. He's pitched it into the middle of the racetrack, and he's gone out and almost got run over.
Because he had a tricky short sand iron, so no wonder he was sort of focused against the race. And as that was going on, a couple of hours later at Doomben, you see the vision. Someone put it on social media from a TV, like, you know, videoing off the TV. And it's swooping season in Queensland, obviously. So they're coming around the home turn, and this magpie dive bombs one of the jockeys, hits the jockey so hard that it bounces off, and it's either died or it's stunned on the ground and just bounced off the jockey as they turn for home.
Let that be a lesson to all swooping magpies, just to stop that sort of ridiculous behaviour. Don't do that.
Animals.
Just don't mess with anybody. Stop swooping us, magpies. Please.
Hey,
why is it only magpies?
I don't know. They're just... they're no good.
They go for shiny things. So you two gentlemen with a little bit of the follicly challenged might be a bit of reflection where they just come swooping.
This is from the bloke
hey,
who
guess
just
what?
Put a rinse through his hair. It was a lot more silver
hairdressers,
last week.
Hairdressers are open. That is, we've got a fine one today.
On the top, talk about shiny.
Rachel King has nothing to answer to. Connections of Nature Strip can go home with her tail between their legs. He's no longer anything other than a good, honest Group 1 horse. He's a one-trick pony. That's an SMS. There's a few other SMSs along the lines of what is wrong with Nature Strip.
It's hard though, isn't it? Peter Moody and the like say let fast horses be fast, and as soon as fast horses are fast and they fall in a hole, then people want to jump up and down. You can't just go at a million miles an hour and expect. Look at what happened in the Blue Sapphire the other day. Those horses needed to be stretched off the track after the Blue Sapphire. So,
now, Rachel King was questioned by stewards, and she said that the intention was to come across, obviously, but then when Nature Strip didn't kick up on her inside, she went to go to the front, and then she basically couldn't restrain him. She was trying to restrain him, but she knew he was going too hard. But that was the end of it, and the stewards accepted that explanation.
I guess he was a $51 chance, Eduardo, whatever he was, but the risk was that that would happen, and the market sort of kind of understood that there were limitations to Eduardo, that he was a fast horse and she'd probably want to cross, and that he probably wasn't good enough to be able to sustain it at both ends. So what do you do? We've seen a fair bit of that lately where, you know, the Farnan ride and the Blue Sapphire attack and all that. So I like it when that it's a proper contest, but that we're talking about animals, not humans, yeah. So you have to also be mindful of the perception of how it looks. So,
Sharky, Nature Strip is a flat track bully. Unless he gets his own way in front, he spits the dummy. Craig from Keylor.
I don't know about that. I think that's an easy assumption to make after looking at this horse's prep. But, Craig, we're only looking at what we see on the racetrack. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I suspect this horse, this prep hasn't gone to plan. Wouldn't surprise me if there's a bit more that Chris Waller and the team have been working on to get this horse to the races this time around. I wouldn't write him off just yet.
Sounds like if a horse can have a conscience, or if these things affect their personality, it's like he's mentally fried.
Well, yeah, if you look at the storyline here with this horse into this Everest campaign, nothing's gone right for him. Like, there's been hiccups, barrier mishaps. Something is not right with the horse. It might not be major, it might be minor, but it shows you at the top level, those minor things that are off, that's all it takes to get beaten.
And I reckon it started with the misreads of those early trials where he tore along and won by 10 lengths. They weren't good signs, as it turns out. They were bad signs. So anyway, but that's him. Like, he's you can't do much about horses like him. He one in every five, you'll come out and blow him away and look like a world beater, and the rest of the time he'll unravel.
It's disappointing we lose Classic Legend because, we've got good sprinters. Yeah, they've got honest horses, but we've got no stars.
What? It's the strongest demographic in our racing. They're all very good.
Classic Legend is a star. Bivouac is not a star. Sander and Elaine's at the other end of his career.
Yeah, he is.
Guitra is a very good horse, and he ran out of his skin. I was so happy to see him run well. But he's not a star.
Why isn't he a star?
The stocks do replenish, though. Like, every time you think, oh, how are we going to get... You wanted to jump off a bridge after Winks was retired because you need that sort of horse. You know, you need that sort of incentive.
I don't know what you've got against
you
good
need
horses.
A God-like.
No, but stocks
Matt
replenish.
Wants,
my...
Matt no, wants but... us to watch mediocre horses.
Listen, no, like, there's 1,100...
You want competition is what you want. And
absolutely.
New horses, but replenishment always comes through. Like, as soon as Winks retired, we started thinking, oh, how good's Russian Camelot? And very
well, hang on, you've jumped off the bandwagon.
No. Don't be so cartoonishly one-dimensional. You've got to move on from that. So, but there's always something else to catch your eye.
It's
more about what catches your eye. Check how Shark was exciting, and Melody Bell. And
so who catches your eye? Take out Classic Legend from the Everest.
But this time next year we'll have a new crew. All those lovely...
Portbury on her. The next superstar of Australian sprinting race.
She is a Group 1 mare and a Group 1 sprinter. Her effort was enormous in that race.
But we will get a generation that the top-tier horses will always be the top-tier horses, and they'll always be exciting to watch, even if they're not quite as good as Winx or quite as good as Classic Legend. I don't think people see it quite the way you see it. I think people...
In regards to wanting to see good
like
horses.
A sense of... Yeah, but they're... The ones at the top will always be good horses. It's more about the excitement of which one's going to win.
We had a Brownlow medal last night, which celebrates the best footballer in the league. Why don't you want to celebrate the best horse in Australia?
But the best horse doesn't have to be the best horse ever.
I'm not saying the best horse ever.
You know.
I'm saying that outside of Classic Legend, the sprinters don't...
But you're assuming that there's going to be a two-year holding pattern of the sprinters.
I've never said 2 years. I said
3,000 yearlings will get sold between January and March.
But do you know what the problem is?
June next year.
Do you know what the problem is?
No, there's no problem if you like sprinters.
Yeah, 80%
the good ones. The good ones aren't going to get to see 4 years of age, most likely.
Mostly it was still an exciting Caulfield Cup, even though there wasn't a champion in it, if you know what I mean. Like, and it was still...
I reckon it was a ripping Caulfield
Cup. Exactly, it was. And it's going to be... This is a more anticipated Cox Plate than any of Winx's, because there's no foregone conclusion about it.
Wide open.
But hang on, I'm talking about sprinters. I've got no issue with the Cox Plate.
Yeah.
I'm talking about outside of Classic Legend...
Anyway, Carmel Size is upset.
It was ho-hum for me. Now, What did you make of Bonho's comments, re Classic Legend, saying that Carmel Size just treated him like a pet? He's a horse, not a pet. I've got to take him back.
He's a hard-nosed Chinese businessman, and that's the attitude that the yeah. businessman will have towards the business. And it's his horse. He lives in Hong Kong. He's got a lot of big races over there. And I think the wording of what he said was quite harsh, but I understand his sentiment, is that it's not Carmel Size's horse. And if he wants to bring his horse to Hong Kong, which I find a bit, you know, it's a shame, but... If he was in Australia and he had a Hong Kong champion and he came here, we wouldn't be questioning why he left Hong Kong.
Well, he was already meant to be in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way of the world. It's just the way of the world.
Yeah, you know? It's his horse. He can do
it. It's lovely
likes
that Carmel's attached to the horse as well.
It was great to see for Les Bridge as well, who's had an amazing career when you look back on a Kenzie Melbourne Cup, Sir Dapper as well. So it was a great storyline, the win.
And Hot Danish, which coincided with his wife's end of his wife's battle with cancer, and that was the one he brought up especially, which goes to show, even goes back to that previous discussion we had about what horses mean, you know. Quite often it means something different, and Hot Danish is the one that meant most to him because it coincided with a period of life that he needed a distraction.
So. I loved his post-race interview, both when the horse won first up and then... again on Saturday. Poor old Greg Radley just copped it. I've only been telling you for 3 months. When that's your opening line, you know it's going to be good. And he said, I've forgiven you.
Great interview.
You tipped dirty work to beat him. I've forgiven you for that now. But, you know, it's a bit of colour.
But he was absolutely the best horse in that race, wasn't he? He absolutely flogged that Everest field. So on that day, he was certainly the champion of the day. There's no doubt about that.
And we can still enjoy him in Hong Kong and in Europe and in America, wherever they want to send this horse, wherever Bonho decides this horse is going to race, and he's made it very clear he wants to take on the world. And if he wants to base him from Hong Kong to do that, so be it. We can still watch him and enjoy him. We sit up and watch Stradivarius and go...
Well, you hope he'll come back for his slot again next year, so depending where he races, because Bonho's still got that slot. Interesting, Rupert Lee had a text conversation with him this morning, fallout... very happy with Santa Ana Lane. They'll make up their mind where they go if they come back. Tafani, a different story. Pulled up with a wind issue that they think may have been caused by the smoky conditions in Sydney on Saturday.
Was it pre-fire season burn-offs going on, wasn't it?
I don't know what it was.
I think that's what the situation was.
So, anyway, we'll wait and see what happens there. Behemoth, disappointing. I'm not sure how he pulled
just
up.
Run off his legs.
Yeah.
They went too fast for him. And, you know, it's hard to... He was there to win the Memsie, and he was there to win the Rupert Clark.
He's not an average profile horse.
He got those done. It was worth having a go. I think you can't criticise the connections for wanting to take up the chance, but he was just run off his legs.
But I reckon what... I suppose he's not a single down, isn't he, Classic Legend? He looks like a horse who you could wonder whether he could stretch out. It'd be interesting to see what he does in Hong Kong over the next 12 months, whether they push beyond the sprints a bit.
He's so powerful, though. He's such a deep horse. There's a lot of substance to him.
SMS coming through here saying, Michael, we haven't lost the best sprinter in Australia. Guitra's not going anywhere.
That's a good point. Barry from Gawler.
I reckon he's not the best horse in Australia if you watch on Saturday. But he is with Classic Legend leaving.
You know what we've got probably asked about a little bit in this country? And I was having a conversation with a Hunter Valley breeder last Friday, and she brought this up in terms of the stallions retiring very early, and, you know, some have fertility problems, etc. And she said, we're asking adolescent boys, in a human sense, to go to stud and serve 150 mares, and that some of them can't do it. They're not mature yet. She said it'd be better to leave them race and prove themselves and let them mature on the track before retiring.
Until they graduate from high school.
Exactly. And on the flip side, mares, when they retire to stud, history says you probably want them lightly raced because there's more, you know, the old phrase you've heard a million times, oh, she's left it all on the racetrack.
Yep.
You want to get the mares retired.
And Maccabi Divas and Letzer Lopes, they
Black
never... Black Caviar.
You know, they've left it, the mares have left it on the racetrack. And you want the mares to go to stud and probably retire that little bit earlier. And we want the stallions...
If we had that, we would have lost 20 of the best 30 racehorses of the world of the last 30 years.
But if you flip it, right, if you flip it and say that's the mentality, that the mares get whisked away as soon as they win their Group 1 and they're off to stud, but the colts stay. What's the more exciting? What's the more enticing? You know, what's better for the breeding industry as well?
It goes back to you'd rather see longevity from Winx and Maccabi Diva and Sunline than from Yes, Yes, Yes.
But how do you know? We don't know what Yes, Yes, Yes could have been.
You don't know.
He was never going to win 3 Cox Plates or 3 Melbourne Cups or 4 Melbourne. So. Mm.
Oh, you're saying you would prefer the middle distance to staying horses than a sprinter?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of that, we've got the 100th running of the Cox Plate on Saturday. We'll be bringing you the barrier draw live tomorrow.
A simulcast.
It's going to be disappointing with racing.com. The way it's panning out, there could be a decision that needs to be made from the committee tomorrow because we could get a full field plus one. Benny Day was chasing Wendy Roche. I'm not sure if he got hold of her or not to find out whether they are going to come down. No answer to see if Natoya is coming down. Now, Master of Wine, Rupert Lee said they're still weighing up a decision as to whether they would back up in a Caulfield Cup. They weren't happy with the ride on Saturday. Did not want him up so close on speed, but he's come through the race well. We've also got Buckhurst now going there. So it could be we have a situation where they need to make a decision on who they kick out. Now,
Kieran Maher's 3-year-old can't get in that context.
Well, that's what I put to Michael Brow. But Michael Brow said he's been placed in a Group 1. Buckhurst has only been placed in a couple of Group 2s over in the UK.
Three of the guys around 100 to 1 in a Caulfield Guineas and runs third cannot get in a Cox Plate.
Would you kick Groundswell out, or would you kick Buckhurst out, or would you kick Natoya out if you had to kick one out?
Boot them all out?
Does the weather make up the decision for Lloyd Williams Reed Buckhurst anyway? Because there's rain forecast Friday, Saturday. And
I don't think there's that much forecast, is there?
I just think the Cox Plate has to read as super elite going in. You might get a winner who comes out and says it justifies this 3-year-old going in, but I think it's all about the promotion.
Is this a Pinker type Cox Plate?
I know, but I think it's one of those races where you want to go, ooh, every time one of the horses walks past you in the mounting yard. And if you clutter it out with horses that vaguely justify getting it, I just think it cheapens the fact that it's our most elite hand-picked race. I'm talking to myself.
Is this like a Pinker type year for the Cox Plate? You know what I mean? Is this a year of Ruffy knocks them all out?
Probably, hopefully.
Yeah, just one thinking of your financial future here.
Who would you, if you had to...
Who are we kicking out? Sorry, what's the choice again?
Well, you've got the 3-year-old. Who? You've got Buckhurst.
Who's the 3-year-old again?
Groundswell.
He's out.
Grand Slam.
Out.
Natoya, to me, is a fringe dweller.
More intrigue to the race?
Why? He's a one-paced, on-speed horse that ran third in the Caulfield Guineas and something had to. At 100-1. Out.
Okay. All right. Hello to Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace, who'll be listening.
I'm about to get a text message, no doubt.
Natoya would be a fringe dweller for me. I remember Cole Diesel won a Caulfield Cup and a Toorak, and they didn't fit him in when they believed that it was an elite race. I want to go back to those.
Natoya, probably the
same. Even if you have to have not a full field, I'd rather have an elite, super elite field of 8 than a field of 12 that was fleshed out with horses that could cause traffic jams and don't have a wow.
You need the traffic jams.
You just don't want anyone to get in the way of Probabil.
I want the Cox Plate to be the standalone super elite race.
So Russian Camelot.
In that sense, you cherry pick.
Russian Camelot, Arcadia Queen, Armory, Sir Dragonet, Aspetar, Probabil, Humidor, Colding, Fierce Impact.
Colding's just for me.
Magic Wand. No, Colding's back in form. Avilius, some people have thrown in the mix. I don't know whether he'd back up. And then you've got Buckhurst, who has the international form, but he hasn't won at the top level. And then you've got the 3-year-old Grand Slam. And then I suppose there's Natoya. But Natoya's won at Doncaster, so I don't know if you can kick.
What about Magic Wand? If you look at her season, last start she was beaten 17.5 lengths.
She won the McKinnon last year.
It's a long time.
Well, I think it should be super elite, and I think they should kick more horses out than they let in.
And just on that, we may get word.
You would have been a good bouncer at a nightclub, Matty. Not with those shoes, mate. Out.
Just on that, we should get word today. I think that they're very hopeful that the owners will be able to attend on Cox Plate Day, and that will most likely go through as well on the Melbourne Cup Carnival. But there will be no actual crowds.
It's a little win along the step out of Corona, but it still would be a fairly unusual hollow experience.
It won't be a normal owner experience. It'll be only a certain amount of owners per horse allowed to attend, and you get in there you watch your horse and then you leave. There's
rather,
no hanging
I'd
around having...
stay at home and have a house party. Yeah. Or, you know, do what I can and then wait.
There won't be any house parties this week.
No.
You know what I mean? I don't want to be a narc, but it would be a very unusual hollow experience. I think I'd rather wait till I could... till everyone was back and there was a crowd to cheer him home.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the verdict. I'll get through all these SMSs as well.
RSN 927's Racing Pulse presents The Verdict.
Welcome back to The Verdict. Going through a few of these SMSs, there's a lot of them that are saying, we saw the Melbourne Cup winner on Saturday. It's Prince of Arran. Thoughts, boys?
Run your usual top five, won't he?
Yeah, he'll run a great race, but I would have thought that's a premature call. Considering Surprise Baby and co went there.
How would Montefilia have gone in a Cox Plate?
Well, see, that I'd rather see Montefilia in a Cox Plate than Grand Slam.
But in the old days, that was the sort of three-year-old you got.
Samantha
you didn't get a Grand
sort of
Slam.
Type.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm sick of this justification for horses that shouldn't even be in the conversation.
On Montefilia, if you were David Payne, would you consider taking on the boys in the Derby? Because it doesn't look like there's a superstar stayer in the Derby.
No, just go and win another Group 1 against the girls. Take that. What's there?
Extra cash?
Yeah. She's going to be worth an absolute hatful when she retires anyway, so you'll get it eventually.
What wins the Derby? SMS is asking us, did the Derby win it come through Saturday?
I don't think it did. I think the Derby's very open. You know, you're sort of looking at young Werta and Cherry Tortoni, who was playing in the spring champion when I think we all expected him to smack the line. Yeah, I think the Derby's wide open.
Felgate, Libertini made Classic look second rate. You three are a joke.
Well,
we can't
didn't.
Have a 12-horse photo in an Everest or a 16-horse photo in a Caulfield Cup. Grow up, be happy with our overall quality. Try owning a horse to get some perspective.
You do.
We've done that, Dave, and the perspective of the ones that we've owned are nowhere near is good enough to get in an Everest, that's for sure.
Did you have a winner the other day?
No, ran third.
Are you disrespecting my Pearl again just because she failed in the Sister Olive Yay on a very hot day?
He's never forgiven you for that.
He's never.
45 degrees. We travel out to Yay to watch
experience.
This horse, my Pearl. The kids are out there in the dust bowl.
Anyway, I agree with whoever the tweeter was, I agree with it.
Well, Libertini's an enigma because, and you actually said it on Saturday, it can put in a performance which is, out of this world, and then it can thud back to earth pretty quickly.
It's a bit of an Anthony Cummings syndrome, I reckon. She did draw Barrier 12, and the Classic Legends run behind Libertini was a lot better than Libertini's two starts back. It was just the way the race unfolded. So, anyway, she's a pinch hitter, Libertini.
Well, another SMS on Libertini. She spanked the winner last start. What if she'd drawn a barrier and won? She'd be your champ today. Don't brand them champs on a couple of runs. That's from Gary. I don't know if you changed the barrier, it would have made any difference on Saturday. Matt is off his head. I'm there in 2 weeks to watch my horse in the Wakeful, crowds or not.
Fair enough, I understand that sentiment, but still, I think it's going to be a weird experience to be there, and I think everyone's longing for the day when everyone can go, not just a segregated group of owners who are going to hear an echo around the course. So that's just my view.
Hi, boys. 15 days to the Cup, but there are still no TAB agencies open. That's from Roger. Well, hopefully, Roger, and we will follow this up, with these restrictions easing, the TAB agencies in the metro area will be able to open. I would imagine that would probably occur from the 1st of November, which is a day before the Melbourne Cup, and I know the TAB will be pushing for that hugely, because that would make a big difference on Melbourne Cup Day.
Gee, the TAB should be trying to mount some sort of an argument about bringing that forward a week, wouldn't they? That's such a big 7 days leading up to the Melbourne Cup. So, yeah, that's something I hadn't thought about, the importance of the TAB agencies.
For the once-a-year punters.
For the once-a-year punters, it's massive.
As other SMSs here, boys, I've had $50 to win on Russian Camelot at $31 in the Cox Plate and $100 on Geelong to win the flag at 14. Fair to say Saturday could be a large one or a flat one. Hey, just on that, and we're really out of time, I think the fear of what we thought with the Melbourne Cup Carnival or the Caulfield Cup Carnival and Cox Plate being enveloped by the AFL Grand Final is coming to fruition. It's a once a year situation because of COVID, but on Saturday, Caulfield Cup Day, you had to go 10 pages deep before you got your first article on the Caulfield Cup in the Herald Sun.
What you're saying, but it's also a consequence of the fact that none of the mainstream papers do racing anymore. Full stop.
If the AFL wasn't here, Caulfield Cup would have been back page.
Mate, They don't have any racing riders anymore. There were 10
but
5 years
you
ago.
Can't tell me, if AFL wasn't on, it wouldn't have been back page of the Herald Sun. Now, this week, we've got the 100th running of the Cox Plate. And this is no one's fault because of the circumstances. We've got two of the biggest teams in one of the most anticipated grand finals out of Melbourne, Geelong and Richmond. It is getting no airplay.
You're probably right, but there is also the secondary story of the racing media landscape has been diminished by 95% in the last 6 years. So what do you?
There is no doubt about that. But unfortunately, this year, the 100, and I feel so sorry for Moonee Valley. They're going to get a great show on Saturday because Channel 7 do it brilliantly, and there'll be crossover with the grand final and the coverage of the Cox Plate. But we're not even going to get the last race on the main channel on Saturday because they will be going to the Cox Plate.
But we haven't been getting the last race anyway.
Enthusiasm for both will sort of half carry the day, and during the telecast he will influence a few footy followers to sort of be interested, although hang on, one comes before the other. So anyway, I think McAvaney's love of both is going to be a really important thing.
And just a word on Bruce McAvaney, I can't stand how much hatred and vile stuff there is out there on social media, because he's an absolute legend, and what he was doing on the weekend, the double headers, the race coverage into calling preliminary finals, is just
I don't think people understand how
big an effort that is from a broadcaster.
Why is there negativity?
I didn't know there was, but I can't understand why there would be. I think he's a genius.
Polarised, but it's social media. What do you expect? All right, we're running out of time. SMSs, I apologise to all those people who sent them through. We've got so many. I will try to continue getting through as many as we can. There's a few saying, Sharky, you need to lift after your performance on Friday. Looking forward to your Cox Plate Friday form focus
four
as well.
Winners there, best bet in danger, one. What do you want? What do you want from me, people? I told you how to bet in the Caulfield Cup and you won.
We won. We're on Anthony Van Dyke.
No, I said it's a wet track. You're back very elegant as well. You've got to listen to what I say, Michael, instead of sitting here trying to bet.
Tomorrow, a little bit of breakfast with the best final field in the Cox Plate. We'll have the barrier draw with racing.com as well from 9 o'clock.
What about the Geelong Cup?
Wednesday.
This is going to be the strongest Geelong Cup. And you and I are on air, I believe.
Yes, on the spring ticket. Absolutely.
On the spring ticket.
You will get to see all of that. But let's just get through the week in chronological order. Tomorrow, Cox Plate final field barrier draw, and then we'll get into the Geelong Cup on Wednesday. Matty, have a good day.
Thanks,
Sharky, have a good day.
You too, gentlemen.
Listeners, don't go anywhere. All the winners from today's meeting coming up next.